All right, thank you very much, and welcome everybody. We are so proud to have you tuned to our program today. We are here to talk live on what is turning into very quickly, as it brisks its way across Texas, an ugly day. Oh, goodness, spring isn't very far away, but oh, this one doesn't look too good. So, hope you got your gardening done yesterday, or at least you can spend today making some plans for the next couple of days after this. We're here to talk about the plants at your place. Pick up the phone, give us a call. Ethan Emmer is running those boards and answering the phones in the other studio. It's a toll-free number. You can reach us at 888-256-1080. 888-256-1080, and we'll get you on the air very quickly. This is a time of year when the phone lines fill up pretty quickly. I hope they will anyway, and I'd love to talk to you about your plants and I'll give you my best answers. As we approach the middle of February, hey, by the way, happy Valentine's Week. Guys, suggestion, why don't you order Valentine flowers today? Why don't you do it right now and have them delivered today or Monday? Why don't you get them done early and let it be Valentine Week? I volunteered to help a florist friend of mine a couple of years ago on Valentine deliveries, and oh my goodness, I had no idea how chaotic their lives are on that one day. Everybody wants flowers on that one day. Biggest day of the year for florists. We can spread it out, and you can actually look like a hero if you prove that you remembered early. Yeah. And, you know, the local independent florist is a really good place to buy your flowers. You know that the cut flowers that we have in America come from all over the world. They come from the Netherlands. They come from, a lot of them come from Colombia, carnations now. When I was in graduate school at Fort Collins, Colorado, I was doing a carnation breeding program because I think it's like 90% of the carnations in America were raised in Denver. And that's certainly not the case now. They are raised in Colombia, shipped in by air freight. So and so with a lot of other things from South Africa, from all over the world. And the independent florists have some wonderful things for you. So anyway, this is a good time to order those. Let's talk about plants. That would be the best thing to do. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. I'll have a couple of other tips. We'll get the program underway. But call now. Call before the lines fill up. You can't call. It's toll-free anywhere you can hear me. We have more than 30 stations carrying the program across the great state. 888-256-1080. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is my latest book. This one is different, though, because I self-published it. I wanted to have a book that I could hand to you and say, I wrote every word of this. These are my photographs, 840 of them. I had no idea I'd be doing that. When the book was finished and my graphic designer, Cindy Smith, said, Neil, I just thought you'd like to know you have 840 of your photographs in your book. Oh, my gosh. No wonder it took a while to get this book written. And Carolyn Skye was my editor. The three of us put this book together, and I could not ask for two more supportive, more incredibly talented ladies to work alongside. Just great. It's only $31.95 plus tax and postage. Now, here's something I need to tell you, because you probably or may not ever have bought a book this way. It is not in stores, and it's not on Amazon. That's a personal decision on my part. If it had gone through stores or Amazon, you'd be paying a lot more. By buying it directly from my office, we can save you a lot of money. 11 chapters. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in Texas. Chapter 2, I've never put in a book before. It is a calendar, a 48-page calendar, 4 pages per month dedicated to telling you when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all of the plants in your landscape and garden. Chapter 3 is incredibly detailed information on trees. Chapter 4 is shrubs, and then vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. It's all in the book. Not in stores, not on Amazon, not a redo of my 1991 Complete Guide to Texas Gardening with the cowboy boots on the cover. If you go to stores or Amazon, that's the one you'll find. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. We ship all the books from my office, and every book goes outside. I'll be happy to personalize it if you wish. Now, you can order it by calling my office Monday through Friday at 800-752-GROW with an O. 800-752-4769. But the better way is to order it right now online at neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com. I'll sign books first thing Monday morning. We'll get them in the mail on Monday. Can't guarantee Valentine delivery, but you can certainly say, I bought it for you for Valentine's Day. 800-752-GROW, neilsperry.com. Why pay every month for a temporary storage facility when you can own a Mueller building? Mueller's backyard buildings are easy to assemble, they're affordable, and they offer a permanent storage solution right in your own backyard. With a variety of sizes available and more than 30 colors from which to choose, their backyard building kits complement any home or landscape. And if your equipment requires even more storage space, Mueller's Standard Series buildings are ready to go to work for you. From workshops to big barns, these pre-engineered bolt-together buildings come in a variety of size and color options. You can also visit them online at MuellerInc.com. Better be spelling that, Neil. MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, to get a free customized building estimate. And while you're there, click on their color selector tool to make choosing the perfect combination of colors an easy decision. To find out more about Mueller Steel Buildings and Metal Roofing, call 877-2-MUELLER today. That's 877-268-3553. Or visit them again at MuellerInc.com. Mueller means more. And we'll have more. We'll get the program underway right after these messages. Thank you, Kelly Robinson, very much. Appreciate that. Folks, I love doing this program. I really enjoy being with you every Saturday morning, a little after 11 until just a little before 12. And I hope we'll be a regular part of your Saturday mornings from now on. So I do have podcasts of this program on my website at neilsperry.com. We post them by the end of business on Monday. And so you're welcome to go back and listen if you missed a part of it or if you just want to hear something again. There it is. Lines are filled right now. As I empty a phone line, please jump on it and grab it. We have four lines, and I think these calls will go fairly quickly looking at the topics. The number is toll-free. It's 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Virginia, our first call today is in Huntsville. Virginia, good morning.
Good morning to you, Neil.
Yes, ma'am. Pretty Huntsville. How can I help you?
It is nice here, except we have a lot of clouds today. I have five nice clumps of society garlic, if you know what that is.
I do.
Okay. I really like it, and it's done very well. Never had to do a whole lot with it, but we had a harsh winter, as you well know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far if I kind of dig down into it and it's pretty well frozen, can I cut it pretty short, or will that kind of kill it?
I would trim anything that is dead. I don't grow it. I have a medical allergy to the whole onion family for consumption, not so much for growing. I could grow it if I wanted to, but I don't. In terms of the foliage and anything that is has turned brown because of cold, you can always trim browned leaves off any plant. And since there's no stem involved in this case, you just trim it and make it look better. It will tell you within about another 4 or 5 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, how alive it is. It's going to be fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You are welcome very much. Thanks for that call. Let's go to Stan, about 90 miles to the west in College Station. 60 miles, I guess. Stan, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Nice, happy, wonderful, sunshiny day to you.
Really? You're the place, huh? You're the one oasis.
Well, it's up there somewhere.
Gotcha.
It's up there somewhere. I actually work down here at the Sands in College Station, and we sell some really good-looking olive trees that usually come out in the spring.
Yes, sir.
And I was wondering if this Area 8B was good for those types of olive trees.
I think you're pretty risky. Occasionally, I grew up in College Station, and I can remember several cold spells that would have been extreme enough to kill olive trees. I think Interstate 10 is kind of a dividing line for olives, mm-hmm. south of Interstate 10. I think you're kind of pushing the limit. But, you know, since I grew up and left and have spent my career in the Dallas area and have come back to College Station, I see you guys growing things that I never would have dreamed would have grown outside. So it may be that there has been a gentle warming in the area. I don't know. I don't want to get into that. But, You can give it a
Yeah, I think
try,
so.
but I don't think I would be putting orchards of olive trees in.
Right, yeah, I could put leaf bags over the top of them
Yeah,
and
to a degree, but there comes a point where if it goes to 12 or 18 degrees or something like that. I mean, I remember, I think it was 1948. I was just a kid, and mom and dad had just moved to College Station from Alpine, and I believe that was the year that it got down into the single digits in Bryan. We were living in Bryan at the time, and I just remember my dad telling me that almost everything was lost then, that people just had terrible experiences with their gardens. Coldest I remember getting to was, I think, probably 13 or 14,
Yeah, we had
as a young
15.
gardener.
Yeah, we had 15 this here weeks past,
Yes,
and
I don't think olives are going to do too well with that.
okay, all
Be
right.
careful. Just be careful.
Yes, sir. Thanks, sir.
I'm glad you called. Have a great day. Michael in Goldthwaite, where I had one of the most memorable evenings of my life giving a talk. I loved Goldthwaite, still do. How can I help you, Michael?
Mr. Sperry, real quick, thank you so much for your book. I just thoroughly enjoying the
Thank
book.
you,
It is.
Michael.
It was a great gift to me. But anyway, how cold can our onion plants, how cold can they tolerate it? I have not put my onion sets out. I have four bundles to put out. Was going to do it this morning. We're supposed to get down to 20s tonight with sleet, and I just decided to hold off. But then I
I
thought
would
about
hold
my.
off just for, I'm more worried about you right now than I'm about them. You cost more than they do to fix, to replace.
That's
I
true.
think I'd wait till Monday. Probably it's going to be back up in the 60s. I think by Monday I would just probably heel them in somewhere, just put them out along the garage or somewhere where you can pile some leaves over them. They'll be fine for a couple of days. Normally we have a we live outside the Dallas area in a rather cold part of the Metroplex, outside McKinney, and we have an onion farmer down the road from us about a mile. He has probably, oh, I guess 20 acres of onions every year, and I have seen 15 degrees kill his onions after he set them out.
Oh, wow.
Enough that it made them uneven, and he went in and replanted with other crops. It was late enough that he didn't want to take a chance on the onions. It just really depends. It depends on what happened right before they were planted. If they've been growing for a couple of weeks and they're young and vigorous, and then all of a sudden the bottom falls out, that can do a lot of damage. But on the other hand, if they're rooted and established, they might hold up to the cold weather better than brand new transplants like you have. But I would certainly not plant those today.
That's what I need to know. I greatly appreciate it, sir.
So you know your feed store there in town, and you know how
Yes,
there's a
sir.
railroad track on either side of it.
Yes, sir.
All right,
Absolutely.
so I don't know if you happened to be there that night, but my wife and I drove over and I gave a talk in the feed store. It was a wonderful talk. I don't know how my talk was, but it was a wonderful experience. Boy Scouts had the grill going and hot dogs and burgers, and it was a town event. Everybody was invited to bring folding chairs, and there were bales of hay set up for anybody who didn't have a chair, and all of us were gathered there in the sales area of the feed store. And I think there were
That's
probably a couple hundred people there. Were you there that night?
I was not, Mr.
Yeah.
Sperry.
And so I started my talk, and a train came through. And how are you going to talk over a train? And I just stopped and I waited, and everybody knew what was going on. Everybody's from Goldthwaite. They knew what was going on. And about the time the train finished and I started talking again, train came from the other direction on the other track on the other side of the store. And I have never met more gracious people. I loved that evening in Goldthwaite. I've told that story so many times. We just really, and what a beautiful trip back. We came back through Clifton and back, back on that route. It's just
Yes.
beautiful. Love your part of Texas.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day. Thank you, sir. All right, that opens three lines. Let me give the number. Sell your phone lines, Neil. Sell your phone lines. Here they are. 888-256-1080. They are free of charge. If you'd like to call, this is your time. 888-256-1080. Mike and B. Dice will be our next call up in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about my free electronic newsletter that comes out every Thursday night about 6 o'clock. It's called Neil Sperry's e-Gardens. Let me tell you a little bit about this. I've been doing e-Gardens for, I guess, probably about 16 years now. And but it was monthly until 3 years ago. It was monthly, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to shorten it. I'm going to tighten it up. I'm going to write most of it myself, and we're going to make it weekly. We're going to do it on Thursdays right before the weekend. This will give people a chance to read it Thursday night. When they come home from work on Friday, they can stop by a nursery and buy anything that seems appropriate for what they're going to do this weekend. And so eGardens, here are the stories. There are five stories in each one of them. It will come directly from my computer to your computer via email. And one of the stories will be gardening this weekend, in which I highlight the most critical tasks for that weekend. Another is going to be a featured plant of the week, something that's appropriate for this time of the year. Another of the stories will be the question of the week. What am I being asked time after time after time right now? We are very earnest about going to church on Sundays, and I get stopped after church. Neil, what do I do with this or that? And so that enters the question. I get emails from my friends. Neil, what do I do? I get questions on this and other radio programs. What do I do? Answer questions in my newspaper columns. What do I do? So that becomes the source of information for that. And then one or two other topics. Sometimes I'll have a couple of questions of the week. It's free. It always will be free. I will never spam you. You'll get the Thursday evening email, and that's it. People tell me this is a lot of fun to read. I'm just quoting what they tell me. I think you'll enjoy it. You can always unsubscribe at any time. I'll never know if you come or go. But we have 50,000 people subscribed to it. Neil Sperry's eGardens. Take a look at it. You can see samples at the same page where you sign up for it. Go to my website, neilsperry.com, and then scroll down, click on eGardens, and scroll past the sign-up page, and you can click on the recent editions of it. Neil Sperry's eGardens at Neil Sperry, neilsperry.com. More after these messages. All right. Thank you, Kelly. Indeed, we have one line open. If you'd like to occupy it right now, this is your chance to grab it. They filled before, and they'll fill again. And so here you go, 888-256-1080. Call now, 888-256-1080. Ethan Emmer running the boards today. Let's go to Mike in B-Dice. Mike, this is Neil. Good morning. How are things in the Bryan College Station area?
Kind of cold and damp.
it's hit you already, huh?
Right.
It changed in a hurry.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. You're right.
I have a question. I've got some wild persimmon seeds that I gathered up in the fall, and I want to plant them. Do I plant them horizontal or plant them vertically, and how deep?
I would plant them probably an inch deep. Are you going to put them in pots or in the ground?
I think I'll put them in little pots until they grow up a little bit.
I would plant them in at least 4-inch pots, or maybe even in quarts or gallon containers. They'll grow pretty quickly. It makes no difference whether they're horizontal or vertical or on 45 degree. It doesn't matter at all. Nature is not that specific. They're flat seeds, so they normally would land flat.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of a roach.
Well, okay.
They got a round end and they got a thin front.
Yeah, that's fair enough. If you envision how they would land on top of the soil, that's probably how they normally would get planted. But they're usually encompassed in some kind of poop when they land. So I
got to get them before the coons and the deer and everything else gets them.
I gotcha. They will germinate very abundantly for you, I think. Have you had them in the refrigerator over the winter?
I've had them in the refrigerator probably a month and a half.
They should be fine.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that information.
You're welcome. Have a great day. I have a piece of stained glass at home in my office door that is a wild persimmon. It's something I had made for me. I like the tree. We have them on our property. I like that tree. It's very pretty. Pretty fall color, pretty plant. Thank you, sir. Let's go to Don in Bonham. Don, this is Neil. Good morning.
Hey, Neil. Good morning to you.
Appreciate your call. How can I help?
You can't take us off the speaker. Hang on.
Usually when I try to do that, I end up hanging up accidentally.
Yeah. I've kind of halfway figured out. I am cell phone challenged, though, I'll tell you. this dog, he's kind of skittish, half wild, and he destroyed my backyard, chewing everything up and just ran down all the grass, virtually all the grass. So I'm down to dirt and tree roots showing and et cetera.
Okay. All right. And so how large is this dog? What kind of dog?
Oh, he's half blue heeler and half something else. Got a little coyote in him, I think.
Yeah. All right. So high energy.
Very high. I'm looking at him right now. He's running around. I got him pinned up in a little back pen.
Well, that may be why he's high energy.
Well, yeah, he wants out there. Stray dog over here, German Shepherd. And he's got the run of the place, and he's in this little pen. Penitentiary, I call
Well,
it.
that's probably what he calls it too. We have the blessing of many afternoons getting to pick up our 8-year-old grandson from his elementary school, and just to call it what it is, we can tell days that they have not had outdoor recess. Oh
What
boy.
it is, I can't get a leash on this dog.
Well, you're going to have to figure some way of how much shade do you have in your backyard?
Well, I've got two big pecan trees and a hackberry over on the border.
All right, so you have heavy shade, and that's contributing to the problem. It's not entirely the dog's fault. Probably, I'm going to make a guess because I live in a pecan forest, actually not very far from you, probably 40 miles from you.
Yes, sir.
My guess is going to be that the grass was thinning anyway before the dog showed up, and so he hasn't helped it any, but he also is not the sole culprit.
Yeah, well,
And
I had a little bit of St. Augustine
yeah.
and a little bit of Bermuda grass and a little bit of Dallas grass. You know how
Yeah.
it is here.
Yeah. Well, the Bermuda would have been in the sun. St. Augustine would have been trying to exist in sun and part shade. But you
Yeah.
get into the shade, you're going to have mud and bare ground.
Yeah.
What I've done, Don, and I don't know if I could do it with that kind of a mixed dog with that kind of energy. But at one point, we had five rescue dogs. They just got dropped off and out in the country where we live, and I just said, okay, come on in, have another one.
Come
We ended up with
on in.
five, and on our rural acreage, and what I did was, where my grass wasn't growing, I used a ground cover called Mondo grass or monkey grass.
What do you bring? Mondo, yeah, I've got
Yeah,
some of that around
and
the
it
trees.
worked, but it's got to have about 6 months to get established before the dog shows up. So you're going to have to wire it off in some way. We have I'm going to mention a brand name now. I have no financial involvement with them and haven't for 20 years, but Invisible Fence, the below ground collars that give them a shock if they go beyond the gives them warning, and so they get shocked one time and then they learn what that warning is and they don't do
Well,
that again. And
I've got a fence.
it has worked beautifully
Yeah.
at keeping them out of the beds. Or we now down to one dog, but she does not go anywhere that she's not supposed to. So that's how I worked around it. And the Mondo grass is thick and dense enough, and it is shade tolerant that it's given me a covering. It stopped erosion, and it tolerated up to I think we had it while we had five dogs, and it made it.
Isn't it kind of tough to mow, and it kind of
You
tough?
don't mow it. You
Oh,
don't
you
mow
know,
it.
you just let it do
It's a
what it wants
ground
to do.
cover. It looks like a grass, but it's not something you mow. The only time I've mowed it one time in 22 years, and that was when we had a severe freeze,
Yeah.
and I had to. It was kind of browned.
Would dry grass bring it back for greenery for a while?
Well, if you plant it in September, it'll give you some greenery until about March when the trees start leafing out, and then it's back to where you were.
Yeah, well, I
It's
want to
just
try some more. I still got a little bit of St. Augustine, and I think it will come back. I've just got to do some landscaping. I'm having a problem keeping the landscaper on
Well,
the hook.
let me put it this way. This is a psychological arm around your shoulder. I have taken 400, probably 450,000 phone calls in 40 years on the radio, and I've answered I don't know how many questions from friends and out on the street and in my newspaper column. I will tell you without blinking an eye that how can I get grass to grow in the shade is by far the number one question I am asked. And 99% of the time, when people say, well, I think I'm just going to try St. Augustine again, they end up failing. Because you get to a point, 99% of the time, because you get to a point in a shade situation where the St. Augustine, let me give you the list, where the St. Augustine cannot cope with all of the shade. It has to have 6 hours of sunlight to hold its own. Number two, it cannot handle getting established. When you buy St. Augustine sod, you get an inch of soil at the most, usually about half an inch. And so it's had a lot of lost roots. So it has to do that. And number three, the farther north you are in Texas, the more dormant St. Augustine goes in the wintertime when it gets really cold. You can't go any farther north in Texas and still be in Texas than Bonham, Texas. You're there.
Okay.
And so for those, you got three strikes on you now.
Yeah. Well,
and last time I checked, that's not too good.
I'm going to get it cleaned off real good and raked.
Okay.
And kind of fluffed up the soil and just.
Try some. Don't sod the whole place. Try some. See how it takes. That should be done after the middle of April. No sooner than the middle of April.
My sister down in Blossom has a bunch of Mondo.
Well, that's the way to do it as far as I'm concerned. One guy's opinion. Right. Hey, I appreciate the call. Have a good one. All right. We will come back. We're going to Thomas in Belleville. They always used to beat us in football when I went to A&M Consolidated. And Donred, not sure which, in Somerville. And I learned to drive around Somerville when I was a kid. It's just old home week here, it seems like. NeilSperry.com is my website. I can do this one really quickly. You go to NeilSperry.com if you need to buy my book. That's my Lone Star Gardening, which is not in stores, not on Amazon. You go there to sign up for Neil Sperry's eGardens. Just told you about that one. So there's a second one. Second reason, I have a book that is in its entirety on my website. It's called My 1001 Most Asked Questions. It's FAQs now. We changed the title of it ever so gently. But that publisher went out of business about a month after the book came out. That's why I am self-publishing this latest book. But I went back and made sure all the answers were up to date and accurate. And we just posted that thing in its entirety. It's a big part of my website, my frequently asked questions section, 1,000 questions with answers. I've added some more questions since. So all that at neilsperry.com. Hope you'll go there and look around. Most of all, if you need to buy my newest book, that's the place to get it. If you want to sign up for eGardens, my electronic newsletter, that's the only place you can do so. It's all at neilsperry.com, neilsperry.com. More after these messages. Thank you, Kelly. And we go right back to the phone lines. We go to Thomas in Belleville. Thomas, it's Neil. Good morning. Hello, Thomas. What do you think, Ethan? Is Thomas vamoosed? Yeah, Thomas is vamoosed. He just vamoosed off my call screen page, too. Said his St. Augustine is looking worse and worse each year. Let me tell you something about St. Augustine Diagnostics. It is a minefield if you're a talk show host. It is a minefield. Let me tell you what I have done. If you are on Facebook, and if you will go to Facebook on your computer as opposed to on a portable device, you will see on my Facebook page the category of notes, N-O-T-E-S. And I have archived there a lengthy discussion to help you identify. I don't know why you can't see that on the app, but anyway, it's another deal. You will see a lengthy discussion of St. Augustine issues, problems, starting with, I guess, with early spring where grubworm damage might show up as it doesn't green up in March. Then you get into take-all root rot in April, May, and then you get into chinch bugs in midsummer and gray leaf spot in midsummer, and then brown patch in the fall. And all of those things, not even to mention St. Augustine decline, not to mention the excessive shade issues that we were just talking about with another caller, and all of those things to some degree overlap in their appearance. It's hard to differentiate them. For just a casual viewer looking from 10 feet away. You almost have to look at the individual blades. You almost have to look at the runners. And even then, to describe them on a phone call is very risky. It's very problematic. So it makes the call go a long time. And I normally don't take a lot of St. Augustine calls for that reason, because I end up feeling like, you know, I'm not sure that I've identified your problem right, because you're not sure if you first saw it in April or you said it might have been July. Well, that puts us on a different level. So I would suggest if you'd go there on Facebook or on my website, those same things are there in those most asked questions category I just described. I think you can find a lot of help there, and I have them also in that book that I mentioned, my Lone Star Gardening, but they're also available to you free in those other places, and so I'm not trying just to sell you. Anyway, hope that helps. All right, now we go to Somerville, and it is indeed Donrad. Donrad, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. How may I help you?
Yes, sir. I just bought a place 2 years ago, and I didn't have no grass burrs. Now my yard's covered in them.
That's not good.
No, it isn't.
Sounds like you brought them in with you.
I tried digging some, but I got a bad back.
Yeah.
And after three or four, I got to give up.
I have a much better solution for you. And, folks, if you're not familiar with Somerville, it is, 30 miles west of College Station, 25 miles?
Yes.
And so it's generally, if we think about the Bryan College Station area and even to some degree Austin, it's in that same line. I'm going to give my answer based, because there's some timing issue going on with what I tell Donrad now. There is a category of product, Donrad, called pre-emergent weed killer. PRE. In other words, you put this type of product out before these things emerge, before they germinate. People get confused as to what a pre-emergent weed killer means. They only work on weeds that come up from seeds every year. Those burrs are the seeds, and what burrs you had last year become the seeds for this year's weeds, for the grass burrs this year. There are three products that are commonly sold as pre-emergence. Any one of them would work for you. One of them is called Dimension, Dimension. One is called Team, Team. And one is called Halts, Halts. The first two, Team and Dimension, are available from independent garden centers and hardware stores. And the third, Halts, is in the big national chain stores. They're granules. All three of those are granules, and they are specifically granules. They're not mixed with anything else. They are just for that purpose. It's not a weed and feed. It's just those are pre-emergent weed killers. And so you could apply those, and here's where the tricky part comes. In Somerville, you would apply those. Probably the best time would be between February 25 and March 5. Very tight window of about 5 or 10 days there, 10 or 12 days. The last week of February, very early March. If you wait an extra week or two, the seeds will start to germinate, and once they germinate, you've blown it for another entire year. So the last week of February is probably your time, your critical time. Let's just say the last week of February. If it's like it is today, cold and murky, then you can delay it by a day or two or three. They're not going to germinate in this kind of weather. But sometime that last week of February, and let me talk over your shoulder now to everybody else. We have just picked up Corpus Christi as an affiliate. You need to do that by mid-February. So you're there. You need to put that out in the next 5 or 6 days. Folks who listen in the Lubbock area, you have into mid-February, mid like the 15th to the 20th. So we have about a one-month swing depending on where you are in the state. But Donrad, for you, it would be the last week of February. And here's the other thing to remember. You must repeat that application 90 days later. So the last week of May, you need to do it again. You need a booster shot. It doesn't have to be the same product. It needs to be one of those three to get you through the summer, because those things last about 100 days. So that's your answer, and that will keep the seeds from germinating, from sprouting.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
You are welcome very much. So you won't have to handpick them this time. Thank you, sir. All right, that opens the line. We have time for a couple more calls, and I've cleaned the lines out for you. So if you'd like to call, you need to call quickly to get on. It's 888-256-1080. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Call right now, please. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. All of this timing stuff that I've given you is in Chapter 2 of this book, where we talk about the timing of application of pre-emergent weed killer granules and a lot of other things. 48 pages of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all the plants in your landscape and garden. Now, that's Chapter 2, and that's the calendar. I've never put that in a book before. I used to have it in my annual gardening calendar back when people used to hang calendars on walls, but they don't do that anymore. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in Texas, the temperature zones, the rainfall areas of Texas, the soil types of Texas, all of that. Then we get to Chapter 3 through 11, and those are the specifics for the different types of plants. Chapter 3 is exhaustive, and it's on trees. Chapter 4 is on shrubs, then vines and ground covers, annuals and perennials. Those are extremely exhaustive, including multi-page charts helping you pick just the right annual or perennial flowers for your beds, to have a color scheme to know how tall and how wide and what colors and what months they bloom, and so forth. It's just, I think you'll find it to be very, very helpful. Let's see, I left off at annuals and perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. The book is 344 pages, 840 photographs. It is not on Amazon. It is not in stores. And you say, Neil, how could you sell it? Well, conscious decision that I made. I decided to self-publish it, so I went to all the press checks. It's printed in Texas. It's a hardback. It's printed on high-quality paper, yet it is still only $31.95 plus tax and postage, printed in San Antonio. 43 press checks, I was there. I got to see my baby born, and I'm proud to hand it to you. It's a good-looking hardback. Satisfaction is completely guaranteed, and the only place you can order it is from my website or by calling my office. The better way is the website, but you can call Monday through Friday to my office at 800-752-GROW. 800-752-4769. The better way, though, like I said, order from neilsperry.com. All books are signed. I sign every book. I'll personalize it if you wish. Short inscription, please. neilsperry.com. neilsperry.com. Let me tell you about Mueller right now. Once again, when people think of Mueller, they think quality steel buildings and durable metal roofing. But the name Mueller means so much more. It means you'll have a product manufactured by Mueller, a product that includes in-house engineers to help design the building of your dreams. It means you'll have a company in business more than 80 years standing behind your warranty. It means you get tons of added value, such as roofing, site visits, forklift delivery, and a Mueller assurance team ready to help you along the way. And Mueller's on the cutting edge, designing and manufacturing new products, such as their greenhouses and standing seam roofing panels. To find out more about Mueller products, go to MuellerInc.com. Give them a call at 877-2-MUELLER. That's M-U-E-L-L-E-R. And numerically, it's 877-268-3553. Or stop by one of their 33 locations today. MuellerInc.com. Mueller means more. More after this message. All right, Kelly, thank you. Let's go right back to those phone lines. Let's go to Jack in Hempstead. Jack, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yes, sir.
I'm having problems planting lime trees. I bet I've planted four or five, and they just get scrawny. The limes bloom. The little baby limes are on the tree, and then they just fall off.
All right, these are in pots or in the ground?
Well, I buy them at a hardware store like a Best Buy, or not a Best Buy. But,
no, I got it.
Yeah,
I got it. And so do you plant them in the ground or you leave them in pots?
No, I take them out of the pot where I bought them and stick them in the ground.
All right. All right. It's going to be hard to figure out exactly what I've got one call behind you, and I want to get to him as well. But the causes that would cause a citrus or any other plant to stall out, it might have gotten too dry one time. Could have happened at the nursery. Could have happened after you got it planted. It could be excessive mineral salts. If it took a while for it to develop, it could be mineral salts in your soil or in your irrigation water.
I'm on a water well in Hempstead.
Well, a water well would be notorious for having high mineral salts, and that could cause the tip dieback, the tip burn. You might have a water well test done. I think the soil testing lab at A&M does those as well. But those would be my starting point guesses. I am worried about whether a lime's going to make it through the occasional cold weather that you'll have in Hempstead.
Well, funny, I had four of them, and two of them I wrapped up.
Yeah, you're going to have to protect it. Listen, I need to run. I need to address Greg's questions, too. He also called. Greg, I'm not going to put you on the air, but I will address oak trees with the clay soil in Brazos County. St. Augustine is by far and away your best chance for getting grass to grow there. And then for briar control, if you'll go to neilsperry.com and click on the frequently asked questions, you'll see Smilax, S-M-I-L-A-X. I control it by mowing it down. Very little of it comes back. Weed killer sprays do not work on it because they just don't. I hand dig what few come back. Until next week, happy gardening.